Hey, you've got the morning show with Aaron, and on the line I've got Naranao Renata. Good morning.
Atamari, atamari, te whanau whanui o Whaingaroa and beyond.
And because you're on the line, where are you at the moment?
I'm currently in Kirikiriroa, and I will shortly be in a car park.
Choice. Yep.
On my way down to, I will make my way down to Otaki or Himatangi today to Māori Land Film Festival, which is, it's in its 11th year annually. It's held there in Otaki, and it's an indigenous film festival, and the lineup looks incredible. So I want to partake of some of that beautiful offering with many others that will be attending. There's a pōwhiri tomorrow at 10 o'clock at Raukawa Marae, which I've never been to, so I'm really looking forward to being amongst the Ngāti Raukawa people as well.
Has your daughter, Kōmako, been involved with any films at the film festival?
She was actually, we were just talking about that, because Kōmako will actually accompany me this time, which is a beautiful little road trip, mihi to the mountain to Taranaki on the way. It, the very first film festival of that was held in Otaki, she had a film, two short films in there. So this will be good to revive her instinct for filmmaking. And yeah, she said, oh, Mum, has it been that long? I said, yes. It's in its 11th year.
She must have maybe still been at school when she did that. Or school age, anyway.
Oh, she'd love to hear that.
Oh, would she? Oh, so, I'm guessing wrong.
She wasn't. She left at the end of year 12. She'd had enough of school.
Fair enough, fair enough. She doesn't seem to.
It's all good.
She doesn't seem to. She doesn't seem to type.
Out of school, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, I talked all over that. So you wanted to talk about Maunga Tautere today.
Yes, I do. I realised that when I actually finally made it there just last a few days ago, and then I was able to go inside what is called the enclosure, which is an extraordinary piece of engineering of a fence to protect native birds, and the flora and fauna, I was really my awareness came very, very close to me around how that line, that fence, and on one side was farmland, completely farmland, not one single native tree to be seen, and yet here was this fence, and on that side that was the fence. The enclosure, there was this extraordinary place on the mountain, which has three peaks. Maunga Tautere is one of the names of one of the peaks of restoration going on of particular birds, you know, to encourage breeding.
Yeah,
breeding
yeah.
as well. The kākāpō has just recently been brought there in recent months a breeding program. And like that's, it just speaks so much about the times we're living in terms of this extraordinary, it's like having a haircut and having it bald around the, right around the outside, the circumference, and there on the top is this whole nother village of life, teeming with life, with insects and native bird life and you know, keeping those pests out that have created so much damage to our to what is left of our native forests. You know, the stoats, the possums, devastation. But this fence is actually working and costs a lot of money to have it there and to maintain it as well.
I just actually was reading, I put up the website while you were talking, $1.6 million every year to maintain it.
Yeah, well, with the kākāpō, what I learned was, because they don't fly. What? I'm a bird, but I don't fly.
Who cares
so
about
they
flying?
They climb up apparently in the rimu trees, and they're trying to escape, and six of them did.
Oh.
There were 20 that were brought there, and six of them escaped, and they were brought back. And
they were?
You can't do that, you know. you're not allowed to do that. They escaped out of the enclosure.
But
what it is, it's the fact that they were in the rimu in the middle, because that's their feeding ground. So their actual breeding program is based around what is called masting, which is when there are, every 4 years, there's this extraordinary abundance of ngāhua, of berries.
Yep.
And they become available, and therefore they can actually breed at that time, and they do. It's their natural cycle, because there's enough food for their babies as well.
That's
through this process is known as masting.
So did you do a tour there or something like that?
No, not as such. I went with a very, very dear friend, Daniela, who's returning to Chile in a few days. And she and I wanted to do something very special. And so we chose to go and honour the mountain and go in there and experience the rata. There's a giant rata in there. You know, these are remnants of a great forest, but they're being well cared for in this particular environment. It's called, the place where these things are called Sanctuary Mountain.
Yeah.
If you put in Maunga Tautari, you could actually be taken to different places, not the actual education centre or where they have a cafe and a centre.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called Sanctuary Mountain, that particular part, and it has wonderful tracks. So we went inside the enclosure.
So the website's together. The website is sanctuarymountain.co.nz. I see. So yeah, that's.
Oh, look! It's just such a gift, and for families as well. In a way, I wonder if it is not so affordable. I mean, it was $25 per person, you know.
I think
it's not, I wouldn't say that was affordable for a lot of people, which is, you know, I never really thought about it, but because we were there and we went in and inside the enclosure and all the protocol associated with that, so that extraordinary area where you enter into a restricted area. Felt like going inside to prison, quite honestly.
It does, yeah.
Your shoes, make sure there was no dirt on your shoes. You know, they had a brush there. There was water spraying up. There was disinfectant. And it was quite a process. And you realised, like, oh, this is quite intense.
Yeah.
But also necessary because of what we take in terms of just as a human being, you know, on our shoes these places and coming out to you have the same. You have to disinfect, scrub your shoes too before the gate will open.
I was just going to say they do lots of events as well. There's one here that you won't need. It's called An Introduction to Māori Herbal Medicine, Rongoā Rākau.
Yes. They actually have some beautiful, kuia there.
Yeah.
And their medicines are available there at the centre. Yeah, absolutely.
That's happening this Saturday at 10:30. They also have meditations.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, how beautiful. That's great that you could let people know. I hope some people take advantage of that. It'll be just amazing.
Yeah, to be...
You know, they're teaching straight from the ngāhere there, which has its own special frequency and the medicines that it offers as well.
Yeah, yeah. They also have evening meditations and something they call forest serenity.
Oh, look at that.
So, yeah.
Well, meeting the people who look after the centre, and there were three of them there when Daniela and I arrived, they were so welcoming and so knowledgeable.
Yeah.
What do you call it when you taxidermist as a person who...
Gets the dead animal and then arranges it so that we can see it looking alive, but it's obviously dead.
I've come to actually understand, like, it's actually not such a good... It's actually a good idea, because otherwise I might not ever see some of these incredible birds. And one of them was the... Well, they had one of the pipi wharauroa, the shining cuckoo, and they had one of the koe kwea, which is a long-tailed cuckoo. And honestly, I mean, I know the names. I've seen a pipi wharauroa very briefly, but they're significant manu, and so we were able to view them through these little... on display.
Right, yes. Yeah, they probably reassure everyone that they didn't go out and find a live bird and do that to it. They found the dead bird and recently dead and then took it to the taxidermist.
It's quite a special field, and I know very little about how they do it, but I'm grateful. I'm feeling grateful when I realise that it actually gives me insight into seeing and going, so that's what they look like, you know. Koe, koea. Because they migrate. Many of our manu are migrating birds. They go to warmer places.
Yeah.
And during our winter.
But not. So they fly from that. That's the ones that can fly away from the mountain. Will do that.
The ones that can fly away from the mountain. Yeah. Well, that's their instinct, isn't it? They go to Papua New Guinea, Siberia. There's quite a lot of migrating native, what we would call native birds.
Yeah, yeah.
That go offshore during the winter months.
Yeah, that sounds like I've never visited Sanctuary Mountain, but maybe I should. I've interviewed quite a few people about it, like because we have our own Karioi project here, which they don't have a fence, but they're working hard as well for the same goals. So yeah, I'm aware. And someone, Bexy Toll, who lives here, she's involved with the project to create a bush connection between Mangatauteri and Pirongia.
Oh yes, that work is ongoing.
Yeah,
and I think it's about those green corridors.
Yes, yes.
They call them. Yeah, but it's so unsafe. It's like it's like stepping. My understanding is, you know, if those kākāpō weren't inside that enclosure, they'd be gone. They'd be eaten.
They would be. Yeah,
and they come from offshore islands. They're brought in specifically to see if they will breed and if the mountain can offer them that sanctuary until they breed, until they choose to breed. And as I say, it's during what they call the masting year.
Mm.
That is their chosen time when there's plenty of an abundance of berries.
Well, I hope that they come to understand that it's best not to escape. That's about all I can hope for, really.
Not to escape. You're in a 5-star hotel.
Yes, please stay.
Pretty amazing ancient trees in there as well.
Yeah, it's a bit like COVID, like in the COVID times when people had to stay in nice hotels in Auckland, but they weren't allowed to leave the room.
Yes, we can use that analogy.
Yeah, people understand the birds for once.
One of the trees that really struck me is that I wanted to invite people to look at was the pukatea.
Yeah.
It has a buttressed root system. So it's very distinctive. But one of the medicines that it offers to us, it has an ingredient in the bark which is aligned to morphine.
Okay.
So it's a natural morphine. It's available in herbal dispensaries as a tincture.
Yeah.
And if for those who are experiencing, you know, perhaps sciatica or any form of pain that they are choosing to look at what is available in terms of herbalism, then I would recommend that they consider this amazing medicine from the Pukatea.
So that's quite a big tree.
Well, it grows into quite a big tree.
Yeah.
It's true.
I'm just looking at a picture of one at the moment, and you'd have to climb the tree. That particular tree, you'd have to climb it to get the leaves.
Oh, no, it's the bark.
The bark, sorry. I'm looking at a picture of leaves. The bark. The bark is closer to the ground. But how do you get the bark without hurting the tree?
Well, yeah, those are always what we call how we approach it really in Te Ao Māori is that we come and ask for if we can take the medicine first, and that the tree will offer it to us. So we do that through respectfully offering karakia, so that the forest is aware that we're there to harvest. We're not just taking with disrespectfully, or we understand that we're going to take some of the medicine from a particular tree from the eastern side of that rākau. But yes, a lot of care has to be taken, and it really should only be harvested by those who understand those tikanga, or the kaua of Te Wao Nui a Tāne, the great forest of Tāne. Yeah.
Are there times when you go to do it and decide that it's the wrong time?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The forest, the ngāhere doesn't always lead you to what you have in your mind, in your hinengaro, or you think, oh, I'm going to do this, you know, I'm going to harvest all these rākau, all these leaves, these rau from this particular plant. But the quieter you are and the more open and receptive, you could actually be led to another plant and you go, oh, okay, so this is what I need to harvest. And generally, we would say that you harvest before the full moon and on a reasonably stable day, not in the rain.
Okay, yeah.
When you're collecting for, particularly to make medicine, there are very specific times in which the medicine of the rākau is really potent in the bark and in the leaves. And that's when, for instance, in the rau, it's when the sap is rising, and that generally understood it's before the full moon, that cycle of how the sap flows within the rākau or the bush itself.
I've just had a message from Craig. He says, oh, he spelled it wrong. Yeah. He says it works. He must have used it.
Oh, how beautiful. Thank you, Craig.
Yeah, and he was curious.
I think there's a lot of pain around. I wanted to share that about the Pukatea because I felt there's this whole threshold of pain that is being experienced. It's just something that a medicine woman or a medicine man can feel into, and just offering that, you know, as a way of consciously being able to access that particular rungoa, so you can have some relief, but you don't have the extraordinary side effects that come with the non-Indigenous medication.
Yeah, we know those are pretty powerful, especially if you get especially the wrong one. I couldn't think of the word. Oxycontin. That's the one that was a pharmaceutical company in the US made, and basically didn't let people know that it was highly addictive, and it's had devastating effects.
Addiction is probably where we have. Yeah, that's another field, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, this is for people who don't normally
are struggling with some kind of mental condition. You'll find they actually have an addiction already. They've been medicated, heavily medicated.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't think that's something we can talk about in 5 minutes, but it's definitely, with rongoā, they don't have those extraordinary addictions.
Yeah.
The plant doesn't do that. It has a very different chemical, biological makeup. So, yes.
Now, it's not you making the tincture for the herbal dispensary, is it?
No, it's not me. I'm not making that particular one. It's a special medicine, so when you receive it, always, you know, do that very respectfully when you take these rongoā, and also take them at certain times of the day. In particular, when you haven't eaten, then the body can absorb them more powerfully as well.
I'm curious about how you get the stuff you want out of the bark.
Oh, that's through the alcohol, the infusion. It's like a tincture is a certain kind of preparation. It's not peculiar to rongoā. It's actually, you know, a homeopathically is how they, which is through using a particular type of alcohol that actually takes out the ingredients.
Right.
Of the plant material, and over a period of time, it infuses into the alcohol. You can also do that with spring water. It's not as powerful, but it definitely using really high quality. Yeah, dare I say it? High quality purified water.
Yeah.
Will also achieve some of what you need. It will also download from the plant into spring water.
Mm.
But takes a while, takes a few weeks.
That must have been, I presume, before these pure alcohol arrangements arrived, that must have been what people used to do.
Oh, yes. That we were more used to decoctions, which is heating.
Oh,
through
okay.
Heating the bark. And it releases in the cells, that they release in those particular ingredients. So then it becomes it's like medicinal tea, really. In a sense, you know, there's a whole range from the medicinal teas to the tinctures. The tinctures are a very high quality way of receiving that particular rongoā.
Yeah, for sure.
It's been around for a long time, and introduced from Europe. Tinctures.
So, folks, we're talking to Ngaronoa Renata, and we had a brief chat about Mangatauturi, the sanctuary mountain, and the pukatea plant. Is there anything else you wanted to bring us this morning?
No, I just wanted to say, hopefully you'll play one of my dear songbird. Her name is Whirimako Black.
Yes.
I've chosen a particular waiata that she has on an album called Kura Huna. She did an extraordinary, she was sharing with us recently, she did 10 albums in 10 years.
Really?
Which is just an extraordinary feat.
Wow.
And, yeah, you know, she really leads us into that field of waiata and te ao Māori and the kupu, and also singing in Māori. So this particular one is quite a sad one. It's called Engari Te Titi. But I thought I'd just leave it really at that, except to say that it's a favourite song amongst the Tūhoe people from where Whirimako comes from, the children of the mist.
Mm.
So I wanted to honour her and the work that she does.
Can you tell us what Engari Te Titi means?
So Engari Te Titi was written by a composer called Mihi Te Kapua, and it's a song of loneliness. Her children were leaving to go away from home, leaving home, and she just speaks of this longing for her children,
yes.
Wishing that she had taken the opportunity to travel with them and others who had gone previously. The song is her way of maintaining contact with her children, even in her feelings of isolation.
Mm.
So she's living in the Tūhoe Uruweras, Ureweras, which is pretty isolated.
Yeah, oh, for sure, yeah. So do you want to listen to this through the phone, or are we going to hang up on you?
Yeah, hang up on me, and then what I'll do is I'll pick up through the podcast. I look forward to that.
Okay, all right, we'll keep that one on the podcast. Well, thank you for your time this morning, and I hope you enjoy your experience at the Māoriland Film Festival.
Yes, and all the best with you visiting the Sanctuary Mountain.
Yeah, I better get over there now, hadn't I?
You better get over there.
All right, thanks for your time this morning.
Oh, kia ora.
Engari te titi e tani hare ana e. Vae tokoru ara wara ua. Tēnā ko au nei e manu. Kei te ua kiwi mahue i te tawa. Ka toro te rākau ki rungara. Ka hoki mai ki te pō. Ka whai uri ki au. No kua no kuia ko te ware ware ra. Te whai au i te tira haere. Ko te hina u whakanaro ana. Ki te roi mata. Ko te re re au ki ngau e mutura. Ko au ana ke rai maue i o. Ki te mātua hu. Hei titiro no atura ki woe. He waka he rae re re atura. Whakatikara wake ki rungara e. Ka momo tu ki ta whiti. mawaiara e whaiatu.